We can easily find ourselves waiting for the perfectly packaged invitation of God before we are willing to take our next faithful step with Him. And whilst God does sometimes speak to us with audible clarity, often His invitation for us to act comes to us more subtly. So what are we listening out for? What form might God's invitation to us take? Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Coleman, Associate Pastor at GBC, and I hope that you hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. As a community of faith, this is what we are passionate about, people hearing and responding to the invitation of God to join in His mission to renew everything in Jesus. This week, Matt Willis, who leads our youth and young adults departments, explores how observing the work of God in our past can help us see God's invitation for our future. Understanding the pattern of not only God's faithfulness, but where He has given us gifts, skills, passions, and desires is often a clear indicator of where God is inviting us to join with Him in His work in the world.
Morning, everyone. As the screen says, I'm reading from Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 10 this morning. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit."
Hello, welcome to church. My name is Matt. I lead our youth and young adults ministries here at GBC. And many of you may be aware, but this last week and even still today, we have been celebrating NAIDOC Week. And this is a time where we celebrate the history and culture and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. NAIDOC is celebrated not only within Indigenous communities, but by Australians from all walks of life as well. And so, with this in mind, it seems only appropriate that I take this opportunity today to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Dharawal speaking people, and recognise their continuing connection to land and waters and culture. And I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Well, the year is 2000, and Blockbuster Videos is a powerhouse in the movie rental industry. In the US alone, they had more than 8,000 stores, and it seemed to everyone that nothing and no one could threaten their market shares. And in spring of the same year, a CEO of a small, struggling movie company came to Blockbusters with an offer. This company had only a few hundred thousand subscribers. They relied heavily on the cost-intensive process of mailing rented DVDs through the postal service. They had started a streaming site, but what they really needed was capital to kick off. And so this CEO came to Blockbusters with an offer, an opportunity, an invitation. And the invitation was this: for $50 million, Blockbusters could buy this company. And Blockbusters declined. In their minds, there were too many unknown variables, too many uncertainties, and that was enough to refuse the invitation. In an article I read, they had said that this small company, it was a very small niche business, and they believed that they understood the marketplace, that they understood the playing field, and they just could not see how this small business could fit into the future of the movie market. So they said, thanks, but no thanks. Now, it's probably a good time to mention that the name of that small company was a little company called Netflix. Ooh, yeah, I know, it hurts. Which, as of March this year, has over 139 million subscribers worldwide. It's available in 190 countries and has a yearly revenue of $15.9 billion. Talk about a missed opportunity, am I right? And adding insult to injury, just over 10 years after Blockbusters missed out on this incredible invitation, they went bankrupt and closed their final store in 2013. So not only did they have an incredible opportunity that they missed out on, but they said no to the very opportunity that would take them into the future. And I mean, history is riddled with these momentous blunders where opportunity was right there, the invitation was within reach, but the risk of the unknown and uncertainty was enough for people to miss out. J.K. Rowling was rejected by not one, not two, but 12 different publishing companies before Bloomsbury finally decided to take a chance on Harry Potter, a franchise that, as of 2016, had a net worth of $25 billion. On New Year's Day in 1961, Decca Records turned down the opportunity to sign the Beatles because, and I quote, guitar groups were on the way out. And my personal favorite, Kodak. Maybe you've heard of this. After developing the very first digital camera, they suppressed the technology because they thought it posed a risk to their film sales. And they were right, it did. But instead of being at the forefront of this new endeavor, they allowed fear and uncertainty to lead them into irrelevance and eventually bankruptcy. Now, the only place that you can find a Kodak camera is a museum. All missed opportunities, all because the people in question could not see the patterns of their changing world. Patterns that if they had seen, it would have meant that they were out the front, leading the pack instead of falling behind and missing out. And I feel that what each of them wanted, what each of them were looking for, was this perfect scenario where everything was beautifully lined up and prepared so that they could simply take the next step without struggle or risk. And I mean, can we really blame them? After all, don't we all want the same thing? Isn't certainty far more attractive than the unknown, particularly when listening out for the invitation of God? When it comes to hearing from God, what we want is a perfect invitation. What we want is we want to be Ananias. I mean, seriously, did you hear that story? Did you picture that situation? Here's this guy. He's praying, and in a vision, he's called from God. Literally, hears the voice of God. It's not an inkling. It's not a subtle prompting. It's not a soft whisper. Ananias isn't left wondering, is that really you, God, or do I just have gas from lunch? All he had was the booming voice of God coming down upon him, calling him and inviting him to participate. A clear word. And then it keeps going. Then he has a conversation with God. God calls him, but he's got some questions, so he asks, and God responds. How many of us have wanted that? He said, God, I've got some concerns. This Saul guy, I don't know if you've heard, he's not a nice guy. He doesn't like people like me, and he's definitely not your biggest fan. And God responds. He says, Ananias, mate, I've got this. I've sorted it out. Me and Saul, we've talked, we've worked through our differences. He's expecting you. This guy's going to be an instrument. I'm going to use him. Everything is in place. You don't have to worry. I've got it worked out. Everything was ready for him. And how many of us, when we have felt prompted, have paused with the question, but what if? Oh, what if I say the wrong thing? What if it doesn't go over well? What if I say it to the wrong person? That would be awkward. How much more willing would we be to take the invitation of God if we knew that everything was ready? And everything was ready for Ananias. And then the crescendo, the miraculous happens. Ananias gets up, he goes, he meets with Saul, and through him, Saul's vision is restored. He can see, he is healed, an act that can only come from God. It couldn't come from Ananias. It couldn't come from Saul. It couldn't come from me. It was unmistakably God at work in this moment. If the booming voice of God wasn't enough, if everything being laid out and prepared so perfectly wasn't enough, then this happens. The miraculous. What Ananias experiences here is by far the most perfectly packaged invitation from God that I have ever seen. And if I'm being completely honest with you, I'm a little bit jealous, right? Because when I think about hearing an invitation of God, and maybe you have as well, but the picture that I tend to have in my mind and even have come to expect is something that looks like what happens here with Ananias. A calling that is so direct, where all the pieces are in place, where God's hand is so undeniably present. That is a calling that gets me excited, that stirs up my spirit. A direct call to ministry, a clear invitation. And of course, I think we all say, I want that. I'm going to wait for that. And we should. We should always be expectant. Be expectant for the big things, the big moments. We follow the God, the creator of the universe. He does big. He works in the big. Am I right? But if this, and only this kind of invitation is what we're all waiting for, we need to be honest. We're going to be waiting a while, aren't we? Just like all those people from all of those stories throughout history, if we are simply waiting for the perfect invitation, then we need to ask ourselves, what exactly are we missing out on? There is just so much that God is doing and inviting us into within the subtleties, isn't there? And what we need to do is open our eyes to see the patterns in the little moments of our lives that speak to God's overall invitation for each and every one of us. We need to look back at the patterns of our past that pave the way to God's invitation in our future. I'm sure you've heard the saying, the beauty of hindsight. The beauty of hindsight, that light bulb moment where we get to see, where we finally receive the insight that we were lacking in the moment when everything was unfolding before us. I mean, it's ultimately a nice way of saying we were a little bit slow on the uptake, right? We didn't pick up on the patterns, on the information, on the people in front of us. It was there, don't get me wrong, but we missed it. We weren't looking, we weren't paying attention. The beauty of hindsight is our way of saying that we missed the opportunity to see the patterns. And by extension, we missed the invitation to respond accordingly. It's that moment where we say, if I had have known that, then I would have acted differently. I would have chosen differently. I would have said differently. I would have behaved differently. It's like every single time that you go out for lunch or dinner with your friend, that friend, and every single time that they order, they say, no chili, no spice. But you don't pick up on that. So when it comes time for their birthday, you organize this feast. at this incredibly well-known chili restaurant. You missed the patterns and you missed the opportunity to demonstrate to your friend that you listen, that you notice, that you understand them. I mean, it's a simple example, but it happens, doesn't it? All the time, in the big and in the small, and most definitely in faith. I mean, how often, when we actually take the time to consider and reflect, do we end up seeing the fingerprints of God at work in our lives? How often does hindsight encourage us that our God is a present God, always working, always inviting? We just tend to miss the patterns in the moment, don't we? And it's not until we look back that we see the big picture, that we see God at work, that we see that there were invitations, plenty of them, we just missed it. The beauty of hindsight, our way of saying that we missed out. But we can learn, can't we? We can see the patterns then. Because even though hindsight is missing the opportunity in that moment, it also opens up an invitation to change, to respond, and to take the opportunity in the next moment. Hindsight can actually empower us with foresight. The challenge for us is to not simply stop with hindsight. It's not enough to just take up the encouragement of God's working in our past and leave it at that. Oh, how great is it that God did X, Y, Z? How amazing is it that I can now see that God was at work even though I was completely oblivious? How nice, how good is God? And then that's enough. There has to be more. I believe that there is more. I believe that in looking in the past, identifying the patterns of God in our lives, that it actually empowers us to act, and empowers us to take up the invitation when it comes. So how do we see these patterns? If we're going to be a people who hear and see and discern the invitation of God, where do we start? Well, in his book Called to Create, Jordan Rayner interviewed over 40 different Christian entrepreneurs and creatives on how they discerned the calling of God in their lives. And what he found amongst the countless stories is that there were three consistent questions that each of these individuals asked themselves when trying to figure out where the invitation was in their lives. And the three questions were, what am I passionate about? What gifts has God given me? And where do I have the greatest opportunity to love others? And if we're going to be a community and a church of people who see the patterns of God in our life and respond, then these questions are a great starting point to seeing where the invitation of God is and where it rests in each of our lives. Passion. We follow a passionate God. I mean, when God decided to create the world, do you think he was like, oh, Mondays, what a drag. Can't wait for that day of rest, am I right? Amen. No, he got up. He did it not because he had to, but because he wanted to, because of the pure joy that it brought him just to create. And that same spirit of passion that exists in each and every one of us, and identifying our passions is a key step in discerning our calling. What gets you excited? What stirs up your spirit? What is it that if you had to do it every day for the rest of your life, you still would not consider it work? I have a friend, and for her, weird as it might sound, she loves cleaning. I'm sure there's a little OCD in there, but she loves cleaning. Nothing brings her more joy than pulling something apart and cleaning each piece individually, because then when she puts it back together, she knows that through and through it's clean. And I mean, we look at that, and I think in the church we have this terrible attitude that if it's not revival of the masses, then really, can I use that passion? And I can stand here now and say, I have benefited from people's passion in cleaning. We have a ministry here at GBC called GBC Cares, and part of that is that there are volunteers who do practical things for individuals and families in our church who need it. And a few years back, my wife and I, we rent, that's a struggle. We were moving, another struggle. And it was the middle of youth camp preparation time. We've got two boys, we work, it was mayhem. And we could not wrap our head around it. We had a group of complete strangers come into our old rental and clean it to make sure that we were guaranteed our bond back. Very important. And it was incredible. It just released the stress on both of us. But more than that, I come from a family where my parents and my siblings don't know Jesus. And so the opportunity that I then had to share with my parents that a group of randoms came into my house and spent a day on their hands and knees with the gumption, scrubbing our skirting boards. Do you honestly think that Jesus is going to miss out on that invitation to allow my parents to know the grace of God? I don't think so. He can use any and every passion. But passion is only one piece of the puzzle. We also need the gifts and the skills to take on the invitation. Writing to the early church in Rome, the Apostle Paul in Romans 12:6, it says, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." Since we have. Not if we have. Not since some of you have, since we, collective, all of us, have. If you're sitting there thinking, well, maybe I got the passion, but I don't know if I got the skills, Scripture says you do. It just might be different. And how amazing is that? Just another demonstration of God's creative passion in each and every one of us, that He would make us and build in us a diversity of giftings. And if we just used them, could you imagine what we could achieve, what we could contribute with the plethora of gifts that we have? And I think it's important to understand that sometimes the invitation comes before the giftings and the skill sets have even fully been refined. We won't always be exceptionally good at everything when the calling comes, will we? It takes trial and error to discover the gifts God has given us. Trust me, I know. Plenty of trial and error here. Ultimate Frisbee with a roast chicken, that was an error, okay? Not a great youth game. It went everywhere. It was too tender. But it's up to us. Sorry. But our failures don't necessarily mean that we aren't gifted in a particular way. But we should be in a continual process of discernment, on the lookout for the patterns and listening to the counsel of the Spirit and of others to identify the gifts God has given us. Our passions and our giftings, they are the patterns in each of our lives. They are the things that we can look back on, that beauty of hindsight moment, and see God working within our lives. The invitation from God, that can be found at the intersection of our passions and our giftings. That is where the opportunity lies. Because if you have identified your passions and you have discerned your giftings, then the truth of it is that the invitation is already here, somewhere around you, waiting for you to simply see it. If you've got a passion for the littlies, those little kids with their adorable cheeks, and you can wield a hot glue gun and you are a gun at craft, welcome to GBC Kids Ministry. If you have a passion for coffee, and let's face it, who doesn't? And all the parents said, amen. And you can smile and be warm and inviting. Well, welcome to our hospitality ministry. It's up to us to be good stewards of all that God has created and built within us. Our passions and our giftings, they are the patterns that are showing us where we are invited, where we are being called to, so that one day our Lord might say to each and every one of us, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to invite the worship band to come up, and they're going to lead us in a time of worship. And as we do, we're going to have our prayer team down the front, and they're here to pray for you about anything and everything. What's going on in your week? The good, the bad, the ugly. But I wonder if we are going to be a people who seek to see the patterns in our lives. Maybe the first invitation is to go figure, pray about it. And so as we do, I want you to consider these questions. Where is your invitation coming from? Where do your passions lie? Where are the gifts that God has or is currently refining in your life? And where is the opportunity for these two things to intersect? Let's not be a people who only take the warm and fuzzy encouragement that comes from hindsight, that comes from seeing, well, how great is it that God still worked even though I was ignorant to it the whole time, and leave it at that. But rather, let's be a people, a community, and a church who are empowered by the patterns of our path and ready to take on the invitation in our future. Let that be our prayer. Amen. Amen.
Frederick Buechner says, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." Where have you seen the faithfulness of God at work in your past? How has God formed and shaped you up until this moment? God is inviting you to use those gifts, skills, passions, and sometimes hardships, inspired by His faithfulness, to serve Him in the world. Will you follow Jesus into that future, taking up God's invitation by the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit? We'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to the invitation of God. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at gymeabaptist.org.au. May your eyes and ears be open and your heart soft to the invitation of the Spirit to join in God's renewing work in Jesus. God bless.